Planting progress is on fire for many across the Grain Belt. Export sales for corn tracking ahead of last year, and some analysts are even talking about corn prices above $5 and even pushing $5.50. Oof. All of that straight ahead here on Midwest Ag Talk. I'm Rob Winters with veteran market analysts David Coley and John Cavanaugh. David, U.S. corn export for the week, we're within expectations, but I'm told the strongest in 8 weeks. Total commitments now sit at 2.98 billion bushels, up 29% year over year, and already well ahead of USDA's 16% growth target, David.
Yeah, I mean, when you're looking at this, you're really getting excited because this type of corn demand has been unbelievable. Now, corn came in on export sales at 1.598. The guesses were 1 million to 1.9, but that year total to date is 29% over a year ago, so it's very strong there. Wheat was only 226, but the guesses were 0 to 300, so not too much about the wheat there. But beans were only 258. They were looking for 200 to 600, so it's at the lower end of the range. And then meal was 295, oil was 3.4. I want to include those, because soybean oil has been the star because of the higher crude oil prices. My goodness, we're over $100 a barrel right now, and we're going to be carrying that forward. So I think the market right now is trying to judge this crude oil thing as possible and try and get it back to normalcy.
Yep. David, I want to know how you judge the crude oil price, because there's so many variables out there that we can't possibly predict at this point. You know, we set, what, a four-year high on the crude oil price? Holy smokes, we've been up to 105. So where's it going to stop, or has it stopped? I still think that's the primary driving force in this corn price right now. Now, there's more to the corn than the price of crude oil, but there's a 90% correlation between the price of crude oil and the price of corn. And we're setting new highs on crude oil, so obviously that's going to drive corn, along with other factors, too. You mentioned the export demand, which is strong and impressive. I would like to say, though, we've got a WASDE report coming out on May the 12th. The market fully anticipates at this point that the USDA is going to increase the projected corn exports. They're currently projected at a record 3.3 billion bushels. That's an all-time record, and it's probably going to be increased. And how much they increase it by is something the market's going to be watching very closely. The average guess, and I'm guessing at the average guess, is I think most people are expecting it to increase it by 50 to 75 million bushels, probably closer to 50 at this point. But that still keeps our carryover above 2 billion. And 2 billion corn is a plentiful amount of corn.
David, you were talking about bean oil as being a real driver in the market. A record highs for new crop soybeans in April are really kind of rare, but, you know, we were hitting some pretty good prices for November beans. Is oil the only thing, or is it a number of things like John is mentioning here?
Yeah, I think we have such good demand for soybean oil. It really helps us. Meal has been chaotic. It runs up, it sells back off again, and it seems like crush spread has been really bouncy here because oil's up, crude oil's down, then comes back up, and it's hard to gauge these things. And one issue with crude oil that is affecting us too is the fact that we're talking about attacking Karg Island just off of Iran. That's their big, big crude oil storage facility, because if they do bomb that, it's going to really set crude oil up to the roof, and that would help out bean oil at that point. But remember, they're not able to count on this, so we're just going to have to wait and see how things turn here. But one that really interested me is that we're talking about ethanol prices down. In fact, we're seeing the ethanol spread with other commodities being much, much lower. In fact, it's made a new recent low here that's going to be carrying us forward. Now, we're going to see gasoline prices up a bit from here into the summer because people will be driving around a lot. But now here at the middle of spring, we're seeing a very, very weak ethanol market because of the gasoline prices right now.
Why would that make ethanol prices weaker, though? I would think it'd make them stronger, David, as opposed to weaker. I find that a little bit confusing.
John, the price of gasoline has been rising. I'm sure you've seen this driving around, because they're not going to make long trips and try and buy gasoline. Who wants to fill up your car with gasoline when it's over $4?
Okay, I get it. You're saying that because of the price of gasoline is so high, that the total usage of gasoline is down, and therefore the total usage of ethanol is down, lowering the price. All right, I see where you're coming from there completely. I am even more confused on another thing. I don't see how you're correlating the price of crude oil, which is petroleum, an energy source, with soybean oil, which is primarily a food item.
Exactly.
For salad oils, margarines, et cetera. And to me, it's the biodiesel thing that's driving soybean oil. But when it comes to the export sector, which we're very dependent upon, as we all know, because of China, not so pretty there. You know, so it's all in the bean oil market. So explain that to me.
Well, let's bring it back. Right now, like you said, we're $74.62 on the nearby bean oil. And bean meal is $318.70. And it's actually been quite low recently. And Ken just wants to sell off. Because remember, you have to crush a lot of beans to get a little bit of bean oil. 80% of the beans are bean meal, and 20% around that is bean oil. So, yeah, it's also affecting biodiesel, but it has a corresponding effect on the gasoline, too, because where do you get gasoline? You get it from crude oil. So that is also affecting the beans because of less demand for ethanol.
Okay, all right. Correct. There's a connection there. I'm not used to thinking that way, I'll be honest. I'm not thinking about crude oil being related to soybean oil. By the way, I want to mention something about bean meal. I don't know if you noticed this, but this past week, some sales of Argentine bean meal to Europe were rejected because some of the bean meal was made from GMO soybeans and grown in Argentina that haven't been approved in Europe yet.
Yeah.
That's crazy insane. That could result in better export demand for U.S. bean meal.
Europe has always been a little fussy in that way. Let's change gears now and talk about the big burst of planting this week. A tweet on X, and this one's kind of interesting. A guy named Brian Scott, who farms here in northern Indiana, and he's got a YouTube channel called The Farmer's Life. He said that he is 100% planted on beans here in northern Indiana. But Indiana is leading the country on planting. And David, you and I were going over the charts, and not just leading here in the state, leading against the five-year average for us and leading a lot of other states all across the country, David. Some way behind, haven't even started planting, talking about the northern tier states across the grain belt. But a lot of other people are nowhere near as much as we are here in the state of Indiana, David.
Rob, you're right on the money on this one. Because when I look at the U.S. total, it's 25 versus the five-year average of 6. So we've just been going crazy with corn planting. And look at the bean total, 23. The five-year average is 11. Now, who is the star here? Well, of course, it's Indiana, 30% planted versus 20 on the five-year average. But also look on beans, 35% planted versus 27% on the five-year average. So who comes even close to that? Well, Illinois is in there really heavily. It's got 30% planted on the beans. That was 18% normally. Illinois this year is 29 versus just 10% planted on the five-year average. So, yes, we're seeing a lot of dominance going on where they can plant. But then again, what about where they can't plant? Well, just look at Ohio. Northwest Ohio has still been suffering with extra moisture. But the rest of Ohio is just pushing the accelerator pedal down on all these planters, trying to get this stuff planted as soon as possible.
And John, you know, one of the issues, I think, when we look at this whole chart about state by state, one of the things that is kind of, I don't know, maybe a little distressing is when you look at soybeans, okay, Iowa's not the big soybean state, but they're only 11% planted. Iowa on corn at 22, which is still, when you're talking about Iowa, you would think that they would be leading the country, and yet Indiana is the leader.
Well, because Iowa's had too much rain as well. Parts of Iowa, there's some areas that have been dry, and they are way ahead of normal, such as West Central Iowa, by the way. Southeast Iowa is not doing very well. And northern Iowa has got some problems. If you look at southern South Dakota, you'll see that they've been too wet, and they haven't planted much. Now, northern South Dakota is doing extremely well, and North Dakota hadn't planted anything. So it's really a mixed bag when you get out west. Back to Indiana, parts of southern Indiana, particularly southeast Indiana, as well as central Indiana, especially west central Indiana, they've got some sections, some areas in there that are completely planted on corn and soybeans, and tomorrow's May 1st.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen that one.
Well, Ed, to your point about a little bit of skepticism about our guy up here in northern Indiana who is 100% planted on his beans, yes, that is a little surprising given the fact that because
yes, it is.
Because Indiana is so so heavily planted, at so much of it, to your point, is down south. A good part of our conversation today is reminiscent of a song from the 60s by the Yardbirds called Over Under Sideways Down. And that seems to be what the market has been lately. And it also seems to be what our future looks like. And so it is very hard to figure out how you're going to plan for the market, planting, et cetera. We have a ton of variables yet to come. We've got weather. We've got final planting numbers. We did, you know, will the Iran war be done soon? And will that change oil prices dramatically? Can Trump make a deal with China? Now is not the time for a wait-and-see attitude. It's time to make a marketing plan and go on the offensive this year. David, you go first. Are you more concerned about making a plan based on what prices might do going higher, or are you concerned about prices for corn and soybeans going lower?
Well, if you look at history, Rob, you see where we're looking at May being a big planting month for corn, especially in some of these areas that are a bit too wet. Also for soybeans, the same thing occurs there, that this would be Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio are the main states that they're looking at right now, and they're too wet. Also, the markets recently have been quieter. They were volatile before, but now with corn pushing $5 and pushing possibly even higher than that, that's because of the extreme demand we're seeing. You know, as I mentioned before, the export sales of corn are stronger than expected. Export sales of ethanol also are running very, very good, although ethanol prices have been dropping here with the gas prices going up. Now, what's pushing the ethanol down? It's because we're not selling as much gasoline, because everything is tied to the price of gas. And that volatility, to me, is not strength. It's just people trying to make deals with each other. And everybody's looking at where to get oil on the world market. Well, because everything is being disturbed right now.
Yeah. Now, John, given all of these variable things that we don't know what's going to happen, are you more concerned about prices going up or prices coming down as you're putting together a marketing strategy?
Well, I'm going to look at it as short term and long term. Short term, it looks like we could go a little bit higher on these prices, particularly corn. But not a lot, and I've got some question marks about that. But because we formed a triple top on December corn futures, set a new high, couldn't hold it, couldn't close above it. If we close above that high, which is 498 or 499, something like that, on December 26, if we close above that, that says we're going to get more buying and maybe push this thing 10, 15, 20 cents higher. That could happen, and frankly, there's a decent chance it will happen. But longer term, I'm much more concerned about this market going down. Look at what's driving the corn price at the moment, and that is, of course, the price of oil. That's a huge unknown, needless to say. But export demand, which is very strong and going to stay strong, but we've kind of accounted for that. Now, our WASDE report coming out is going to be very interesting, but we're still going to keep our carryover above $2 billion. That's bearish, folks. That's not $5 corn prices. My only concern about the corn price and the bean price is dryness in the growing season. Now, at the moment, that's not anything to be concerned about, but that's a big who knows. My point is that typically spring is the most volatile time for grain prices and soybean prices. We're here. It's happening. This is a great opportunity. I think the prices have gone higher than they should be. If we do have a normal growing season, we're going to keep our carryover next year above $2 billion. That's bearish. All I can say is use this as an opportunity to sell, sell, sell. I think this new crop price, now I'm not saying sell everything, but I do think that coming out of the spring, you should be at least 50% sold, and that's probably too conservative. Hold some back. You always have to. And by calls to protect yourself, but I think this is a very, very good opportunity.
You have to think about this. That WASDE report coming out in May is the first time the USDA releases the 26-27 crop. And now we're facing 25-26 with excellent, excellent export demand. So what's the demand going to be next year? What's going to be the economy next year? What's going to be the world next year? That's going to be a big, big decision maker here too. So watch the WASDE for that.
I'm glad you pointed that out, Dave, that we're going to also get our first new crop estimate. If you take the acres, and the government's almost certain to put a trend line yield on that, that's going to put your carryover above $2 billion, and that's going to deflate the market.
This is the kind of analysis that you get about the markets right here on Midwest Ag Talk. If you like it, you think you know somebody who might enjoy it, please pass it along. I'm Rob Winters, and again, this is Midwest Ag Talk.